Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Thank you, Pastor John. Good morning, Buckeye. How's everyone doing today? Oh, come on now. You're talking to a soldier. We can do better than that. How's Buckeye doing today? That's more like it. More vibrant, full of energy. It's definitely good to see you. It seems like it's been forever before my wife and I have been in your presence, so we've missed you guys. But thank you, Pastor John, for allowing us to come in and allowing me to deliver the message today. For those of you that have never met me, my name is Patrick Williams. It's my beautiful wife, Candy. We've been married going on 28 years now, and say, wow. That's a long time, and sadly, that is a long time to a lot of the younger folk. They say wow a lot when they ask me how long you've been married. But my wife, she's just been an amazing support, especially in this calling to ministry, and it's not just me that's called. She's called along. We support each other and lean on each other. I'm just so grateful and honored to be here with you today. I have finished my career in law enforcement of 25 years. In October 14th of 2022, and it is very difficult still, for me to sit in my vehicle and watch people blast through intersections. And I will say audibly, if I still had my cruiser, I would pull you over. I would stop you and write you tickets. But God has called my wife and I to a greater thing. So He asked me to step out of law enforcement and to step into the ministry. So still serving in the Ohio Army National Guard, into the Chaplain Corps. And what an honor it is to serve our great nation, to serve our soldiers, our men and women that volunteer to step up to support, to protect, and defend. Because without them, we couldn't gather here today. Amen. They're the ones that protect our First Amendment rights, right? And still to this day, we have men and women that are spread out all around the world, representing our country and meeting the needs of others. And I'm just honored and blessed to serve them, to be their chaplain, to step up and provide for their needs and as well as their family. So it's an honor to be here with you today. So before we get into our message, I brought a video clip that's going to kind of set the stage. And just to give you an advance notice, this is from an infamous movie series called Band of Brothers. I mean, of course, I got to bring something military to tie this together. But this takes place, if you've not seen the miniseries, it takes place during World War II, and it's a conversation that happens between an enlisted soldier and an officer. And this is going to set the stage for us about our message. So if we can, go ahead and roll film. I'll move my large cranium out of the way so everybody can see. But Lieutenant Spears, he sees the situation that Albert Blythe is going through, and he tries to get his focus on being a soldier. And he prescribes to Private Blythe the fact that you have to accept that you're already dead. You've already died. And you need to let go of everything that you know of that's normal. You need to let go of your life back in the United States. You need to let go of everything to the point that now you are here and you have a job to do. You have a mission to fulfill. So by letting go, by dying out, that's the only way that you're going to be able to function as a soldier. That's the message that Lieutenant Spears was providing to Private Blythe. Just a little bit of a spoiler, later on in the movie, not far after this scene, you'll actually hear Private Blythe say that he was not even able to pull the trigger of his rifle. And unfortunately, that's what soldiers are called to do. Sometimes we're called to take other people's lives. It's a sad thing to imagine, but that's the world that we live in today. But the challenges that Private Blythe was facing stopped him in his tracks to the point where he couldn't even function. How often have we found that in our lives? We were totally distracted away from functioning as a Christian, functioning as a disciple for Christ, or maybe even functioning on the job. Something engaged with us out of the norm. So that's today's message. And how great God is that He provides us with His Word of how to overcome these challenges. So today, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to be reading out of verses 24 through 28. Matthew 16, 24 through 28. And as you're turning to that, I felt that it was it was a good thing to bring this movie clip with you today, because I want to recognize, and you may have some people in this service or within your church, or maybe you know of somebody that may have served during World War II or may have done something to support the cause. And these people are titled The Greatest Generation. Our message is about sacrifice today. Spoiler alert. This great generation let go of everything to support the war machine. And that's what they called the Allied forces, to go into Europe and the Pacific to thwart out evil, to thwart out the idea of somebody trying to take over and obtain world dominance. Corporations gave up everything. All of the things that they normally produced, they stopped to manufacture ammunition, to manufacture tanks, airplanes, parachutes, anything to support the war. Paper boys, after they finished their route, they would go around and collecting up glass bottles. Well, these glass bottles were used for plasma and blood for the wounded soldiers. Everybody sacrificed. Everybody gave up. So I have a special heart for our greatest generation, and they're quickly dwindling away. So if you know somebody, thank them. Thank them, because without them, maybe Hitler would have succeeded. Amen? Amen. But Jesus, he goes to his disciples, and just to set up the stage, he's been walking with his disciples for quite some time now, and he's preparing the disciples for his departure, for his crucifixion. But he reminds them, in Matthew 16, 24 through 28, he says, let me get to that technical issue here. I went too far past. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they have done. Just as I mentioned before, Private Blythe, he was talking about some challenges that he was experiencing as a soldier, and life was probably pretty normal for him until the call for servitude came up. When war broke out, there were volunteers that stepped up. Recently, you know, we had the Gulf War, volunteers stepped up. But Private Blythe, he may have been on his farm, his family's farm, or working in a warehouse, doing something that we call normal. But when the call came, he was there. He answered amongst millions of others that did the very same thing. But he was challenged. He was challenged with fear and all the things that he was experiencing, all the things that was going on around him. Imagine the bombs that he's dropping in out of the sky into an area that's exploding or maybe inflamed. People losing their lives all around him. He faced fear. Private Blythe, he had challenges that he had to let go of in order to function as a soldier. And that's what Lieutenant Spears was trying to encourage him to do. But in today's society, we often find our identities intertwined with our personal desires and ambitions. Those ambitions can look like career goals, social status, or personal relationships. But letting go of those things can make us feel like we're losing a part of our life. We're losing a part of ourselves. But Jesus reminds us in chapter 16, verse 25, he says that those who try to save their lives will ultimately lose them. He's telling the disciples that if you hold on to all those things that are worldly, then your focus to God is not complete. It's not there. If you hold on to your job and that's your identity, and not understanding that you're created in the image of God, then you're not completely sold out to Him. If you're holding on to a relationship, you're not sold out to Him. And that's what Lieutenant Spears was trying to encourage Private Blythe to do. He was encouraging him to let go so he can function. But today, as Christians, we face these challenges, and we don't even realize that we're enveloped or surrounded by these challenges and not knowing to let go. But Jesus reminds His disciples quickly to let go of everything. God is the great provider for all things, and He will see you through in what He has called us to. So let's consider the story of a rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. He approaches Jesus and he's wanting to talk to him about eternal life. And Jesus immediately, and I love how Jesus is so bold. He cuts off all the fat and he gets straight to the meat. And he says to the young rich guy, he says, all the stuff that you have, you need to let it go. You need to forget about it. The riches were the identity of this young person, and he just didn't like hearing what Jesus had to say. And how often do we find ourselves in situations when we're told to let go of things that we just have a hard time doing? You know, I've talked to several law enforcement officers and military people that have served 25 and 30 and 35 years. They come to me and they're like, Patrick, how in the world am I going to be able to function? This is all that I know. But we're being called to let go. I was called to let go of my career of law enforcement. I loved serving people. I loved being there in people's time of need. When they saw that there was no hope, I wanted to show them there was hope. And that's what Jesus is portraying today. That's the message that he's delivering today, that there is hope when you let go. This is not our identity. Our work is not our identity. Our relationships are not our identity. But in order to be successful with those types of things, we have to keep Christ Jesus in the very center of our relationship, of our jobs. Candy and I, we've been married, like I said, 28 years. That's a long time. Candy says a real long time. But the success to our relationship goes to Christ. In our faults, Candy might say my faults, our failures, our misunderstandings, if we didn't turn to Christ Jesus, then it would have probably failed. It would have probably failed. But he's the bond that holds us together. And that's the encouragement that I give to these officers, that I give to these soldiers, is that letting go and stepping into the realm of faith, that's where we're supposed to be. That's who we're created to be, to work and walk in faith. But there are so many things like money and relationships and careers that divert our train of thought. Private life had a lot of stuff going on. We do too. We have challenges in our life that we deal with, whether it's family, whether it's self, whether it's job, doesn't matter. Whether it's a health issue, it doesn't matter. Those challenges are there. But my encouragement today is to help you see that if there's an issue, you can turn to Christ and he'll help work it all out. This rich young man, he didn't quite like the information Jesus was delivering to him. And today in our lives, we may face similar struggles, holding on to dreams or relationships that distract us from our calling, from functioning as a Christian soldier, from functioning as a disciple of Christ, to be Christ-like. Those distractions can divert our ministry. One of the things that comes to mind is the weight of sin. Sin is multifaceted. It comes in many different shapes and forms. It doesn't matter if it's from lying to sexual sin. It doesn't matter. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. Sin diverts your train of thought from your relationship with God. And sin can look so alluring. It can look so beautiful. It can look so pleasing. And that's what Satan wants. That's what he wants us to believe, that this is an okay thing because it makes us feel good. Well, that's all but true. When we fall into sin, when we fall away from God, we fall into this snare that Satan is waiting to just pull the tripwire and look at God and say, I got another one. He wants to derail us away from our purpose. He wants to push us off the tracks of our calling in life. Sin, it entangles us and it causes a chasm to appear between us and God, stunning our spiritual growth and our effectiveness in work. Let's consider King David. King David was appointed in his position of kingship by God. He was called to lead the nation of Israel. And if you know anything about Scripture, David is the bloodline that led to the arrival of Christ Jesus. So he had an important calling. All callings are important, but the spotlights were on David. But there's this lady that shows up named Bathsheba and distracts David from his calling. And he falls for the snare. He falls right into that sinful relationship with her. And it had a huge impact not only on David, because he lost his firstborn, he lost the trust from the people of Israel, and I'm pretty sure he probably let God down. God knew eventually that David would repent of his sins, and the loving God that we serve, He is so gracious and He is merciful, and He gives us that opportunity to repent. And repentance is such an easy thing that God lays out for us. He gave us the example of how to give up, how to sacrifice through Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is acknowledge the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We have to ask for forgiveness of our sins. And then we ask for the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to guide us, to direct us, to use us for the purpose that we're actually called for. Repentance is such an easy thing, but King David, he forgot all about God in that moment. He let go of God and walked away and was willing to give up everything. The allure of money, how often do we fall into that snare of, well, I feel like I should be giving, but I don't, because I have a plan for this money and it's to do whatever. This young man that was approaching Jesus about eternal life, he didn't want to let go of anything. But all too often we find our calling to give money to others, to help others, to meet the needs. Even though God doesn't really need our money, He uses it as a test of faith. And that's the only one thing in Scripture that tells us to challenge God with. Challenge Him with our finances and watch Him work. And one of the things that I'd like to testify about today, and I've shared this story with many people, is that years ago, Candy and I were standing in church, and she had her tithe check made out, and she looks at me, and the ushers are coming, and they're ready to take that tithe. And she said, you know, if we give this money, we will not have money for gas, and we won't have money for groceries. Have you ever been there? And for a second, I thought, man, I don't want to jeopardize us. I don't want to cause my wife to go without food, and we have to go to work, or we won't have money to take care of other things. These things were tossed around in my mind for a split second. Then immediately we agreed, let's just go ahead and pay that tithe. That following Monday we went to work, and then we went to the mailbox, and lo and behold, there were two checks made out to Candy and I that were worth more than what our tithe was. Isn't that great about how God is, that how He provides? He already knew that that money was on the way. We had no clue about it. We didn't know that it was coming. But God knew. But it was our test of faith that helped that testimony. And I'm not saying that God will always answer with reciprocating that money back to you. That blessing that you pour out, that money that you give, can be a blessing in the form of seeing a child with a pair of shoes, or a child with a winter coat, or maybe food on the table for a family. That's the blessing that we get to see as Christians when we faithfully give our tithe, or we give above and beyond our tithe. But we have to step out in faith. We have to sacrifice. And that's what Jesus is talking about when He says to take up your cross. The cross is symbolic of sacrifice. That's what Jesus did. He went to the cross for our sins. He went to the cross for our iniquities. He was the example of sacrifice. But great and mighty is He that He resurrected from the grave. But that blessing came to us, and it could come to you too in different ways. We just need to be vigilant. But if we're so distracted with holding on, how are we ever going to know what that blessing is? How are we ever going to know if that child had a scrap of food to eat or had something to keep them warm? Sacrificing and letting go is what we are called to do. In Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, we're reminded that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Many Christians today, we struggle to balance our financial aspirations with our faith. It's pretty much drawn out for us in Scripture. It tells us to give 10% of our first fruits. 10% of our first fruits comes off the top. But we struggle with that. And if you think about it, yeah, 10%, it does add up. But you know what? To pour eternal life into somebody else because of that giving is far greater than anything, any riches that we could ever have in our pockets or in our bank accounts. The story of the widow who offered her last bit of money illustrates true generosity. While the wealthy gave out their abundance, the widow gave all that she had, demonstrating a heart for God above material possessions. We need to cultivate a spirit of generosity and stewardship using our resources to further God's kingdom. Again, God doesn't need our money, but it's a test of faith that He gives us. It's a challenge that He gives us to stay focused on Him as we give, as we pour into other people's lives. And there's other ways that we can do it. It doesn't always have to be monetarily. Serving in our communities, becoming a part of a small group that goes out and ministers into the neighborhoods and into the streets. We're called to do those things. The book of Matthew, when Jesus commissions the disciples, He says to go. Guess what? That message is for us as well. We are called to go and to give, but it calls for dying out to self. The idea of dying out to self perhaps is one of the most daunting aspects of discipleship. It doesn't mean physically dying. It means dying out to this world. It means letting go of all your possessions. It means letting go of anything that is distracting you from your relationship with God. God wants all of you. He doesn't want just a part of you on Sunday. When Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday comes, He wants those days too. And every second of every hour in between, He wants that. He wants you to honor Him and to praise Him, to worship Him, to live a life of righteousness and holiness. We are to exemplify who God is. Amen? God is righteous and He is holy. We are created in His image. That's who we are. And God wants to use us to do great things. But if we fall away, if we fall to sin like King David did, it's going to hinder our mission. It's going to hinder our ministry. If we're out there doing things that opposes Scripture, that opposes the spoken Word of God, people are going to see you. They know who you are. They know that you go to church. But if they see you going into places that Scripture tells us not to be a part of, then every word that you say and every action, every deed is going to fall on deaf ears because they're going to know who you really are. No pressure. But God prescribes how we're supposed to act as Christians. He tells us exactly what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to function to be effective in the world. But if we let our riches and our sin overtake our focus on God, then we're out in the battlefield. And it's going to feel like you're by yourself. Let's look at the Apostle Paul real quick. He wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul, he exemplifies what it means to die to self, those self-desires, whether it's personal, whether it's within a family or job. If you don't let go and die out to those things, then your relationship with God is hindered. And that's what Paul is saying, that he has let go of everything and he is fully trusted on God. And God showed Candy and I that day that He's got us. So when He puts in your heart to do something, to pray for somebody or to go to somebody and to talk to them and to share the love and the grace and the mercy of God to them, then go do it. God's already prepared the stage. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope in the future. Chapter 12, or verse 12 says, But if you pursue me, you'll find me. And our way of perseverance to God is letting go of everything. Letting go of everything. Dying to self is not a by yourself concept. Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. He knew that there were going to be challenges for those disciples. He knew that there was going to be temptations. But He knew one of the two was going to help pull that other disciple back on track. But God did a plus one. And that's how He is. When Jesus ascended to heaven, His Holy Spirit came forth to walk with those disciples in those challenging moments. He was there to protect, to give them discernment and wisdom. But it takes that step of dying out and to be willful to listen to what God has to say to us. We have that same blessing. The Holy Spirit of God is with us. The Word says, where two or more speak of Him, He is present. There's more than two here today. We have God on His mind, and I certainly would hope. But that's His promise to us, that He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The Holy Spirit of God is with each and every one of us. We have to understand that. And the provisions are already there, the prosperity, the hope in the future. It's not the monetary prosperity. It's the eternal life prosperity. Earlier, in first service, we sang about a mansion being prepared for us. That mansion is there for each and every one of you. If you stay faithful to God, that mansion is for you to spend eternal life. That's the prosperity that Scripture is telling us. To live eternally and to be able to look on the face of Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord, for all of eternity, and to praise Him for all of eternity amongst the friends and the family that have gone before us. If they were faithful believers, then they're there and they're waiting. But in the meantime, they're worshiping God for all eternity. And that's our place. That's the prosperity that God is focused on. This is all temporary. This is all going to go away one day. These bodies, thank God, but we get new bodies. That's the prosperity that God wants us to focus on. He doesn't want us to focus on and hold on to those things, to let go so that we can have life. And that's the other part of the Scripture that talks about those that let go, those that die out, will have eternal life. But it's our job as disciples of Christ to shed our worldly stuff. And I'm going to be closing up soon, but that's the message today. Private Blythe, he was so blinded by the ugliness of war and everything that it has to offer, he couldn't function as a soldier. And I know that there's brothers and sisters that are in this room today that are struggling with those challenges, with those distractions, whether it's sin or if it's the love of other things such as money or your career, or maybe you put your relationship with somebody else before everything else. Those are the distractions that divert us as soldiers of God. Those are the things that prevent us from functioning. Later on in the movie, Private Blythe, eventually, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the miniseries, you need to check it out. Private Blythe was finally able to function as a soldier. He was there to do a job. He was there to do what he was called to do. He was there to answer the call to the need of someone else. And as Christians, as disciples, whether you're a lay person, you lead a small group, or you stand up here in the pulpit and deliver a sermon, that's who we are. And we can't let these distractions stop us in our tracks. We have the Holy Spirit of God with us in every step of our life. Read the Word of God. Gather together in your small groups. Read Scripture. It's pretty cool to see how God can work. But most of all, have faith in Him. That's what He's called us to do. That relationship with Jesus. Give it all up, folks. See the beauty of what God has called you to. Amen. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.